Make so receives our adoration and exaltation to him. Anything that doesn't come from the heart is formalism. And so today I sincerely believe that our expressions of praise came from our heart. Otherwise, it's nothing but vain repetition and formalism. But today it came from our hearts, I'm sure. Our ASB president, Wes Davis, is going to come and pray for us today. And we're going to join our hearts together in prayers. He leads us. I remember years ago, I came for a function here on the campus. I think it was an alumni function. And the late and former president, Dr. Butterfield, was asked by the alumni president to pray. And Dr. Butterfield said, can I be heard from here? Or should I come up there? And the alumni president said, oh, God can hear you any place. And that's true. The only thing is, when somebody is asked to lead in prayer, then I think it's important that we listen and join our hearts together with their leading us. They're our representative at this moment to take us to the throne of God. And so I thought it was rather a glib reply to a serious question from the president, our former president. I think he's probably former president at that time even. But we're going to join our hearts with you, Wes, as you are our representative this morning, taking us to God. Because it's a wonderful privilege that we have to walk into the presence of God today. And Wes is going to lead us, and we're going to join your prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we come with confidence. Yes. And we praise you.
Yes, we do.
You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are reminded today in worship that you are the one who has delivered us. And just as you delivered your people, the Israelites, from bondage in Egypt, you have delivered us from the bondage of sin in our lives and where we have come from. And we're reminded of your grace that picked us up and set us on solid ground. Praise you. Praise you, God, our deliverer. Lord, I come before you on behalf of the student body, and I ask, Lord, for you to meet the needs of your people, of your church here, that you would meet the physical needs, the academic needs, that the social needs, Lord, mend relationships. I pray, Lord, that you would bring healing to people right here as you reach forth your hand from heaven and touch us here. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint the speaker and that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that we'd be challenged to live for you.
Yes.
And finally, Lord, I thank you for the hope that we have within.
Amen. Amen.
That we have a Savior.
Yes.
Amen.
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 You may be seated. Very few weeks ago, we were privileged to have Pastor Dale Carpenter from the Stone Church in Yakima is our guest here in chapel. And I think if you were here, you would remember his message. It was a dynamic message and an interesting message and a Bible message. Great, great, great illustration, analogy from the Bible. I've asked him today because he got up early this morning, like you did, and drove over from Yakima and brought our special chapel guest today. And I think it'd be most appropriate if Pastor Carpenter from the Stone Church in Yakima comes and introduces our guest.
Well, hi, everybody. Just want to say hello to all the gang from Stone Church, from the good old church back home. I have brought you an exciting speaker today. Ken Gobb is a member of our church, and he's the son of a Pentecostal preacher. Except for a brief adventure in the back hills of Kentucky in pastoring, Ken has always been an evangelist. Started out many years ago in a bookmobile, one of the first evangelistic buses, I guess, all the way up through those years with semis and big tents right across America, evangelist. Ken's also a world traveler. Among other things, having taken over 75 groups to Israel to tour Israel and Bible lands. I think Ken and I have knocked around in some 40 or so countries of the world, and we have a lot of memories. It was joy for me to bring him over today. But beyond all of that, first and foremost above everything else, Ken Gobb is a soul winner. And he's my pal, and I'm glad to introduce him today. Ken Gobb, evangelist. Come on, Ken.
All right. Well, it's exciting to be here. We came through the fog from Yakima, and it's cold over there. But it's exciting to be here at this great college and share a few thoughts with you from my heart this morning. We saw a sign leaving Yakima. I read everything, signs. And we saw a sign leaving Yakima said, slow fog. So we drove fast and got right by it and made it on time. I read a lot of signs, you know. I really do. I don't understand them all, but I read them. I was going down to San Diego the other day, and they were taking me to the airport, and it said, left traffic, boat traffic, left lane, airline traffic, right lane. And we had a car, and it made me nervous. I thought, we're not a boat. There'll be a 747 run over us. But they have boats and planes, you know, and you never know what to do going to the airport anyway when it says arriving and departing, because I'm doing both. And I don't know which lane to get in sometimes. You know, it's kind of confusing when you read stuff like that. I drove by a church one time and said, slow church. I kept going. I wasn't really interested in going there. But I was preaching for Bobby Wilson down in Colorado some time ago, and we saw a sign downtown. He wanted to take me down and show me a special sign, only one of its kind, he said. And the sign said, on this spot, October 14, 1844, nothing happened. I hate a sign like that. You know, those are things it's hard to understand it. Like one sign you saw at McDonald's said drive-through window, a guy did, and they arrested him. And, you know, they don't know what to do, you know? So you can't believe everything you read. Like you ever go in the mall and see a sign that said eyes examined while you wait? How are you going to leave them? You know, it's what I can't figure out. Or they sometimes say, ears pierced while you wait. Here's my wife's ears. I'll be back Friday. Pick them up. They don't mean that, you know, thank God. But it's hard to understand. I was in Texas, and they had a sign that said, keep on the road. We were planning to do that. But I don't know why they put that up. And then we saw a sign in Boston that said, flag man ahead, no shoulders. I said, I want to see him, you know. We had a sign on Yakima in the camera store that Paul Harvey talked about all over the nation a few years ago. And it said, for Christmas, let us blow up your kids. Yeah, they're shipping them in from all over. But anyway, I wonder about signs like that. And then there's a sign in Seattle I saw one time said, if you see a missing person, call this number. And we didn't know what to do because I've never seen a missing person. And I don't know how you'd see them if they were missing. So I'm trying to figure that out. You know, then we walked down the street and there wasn't nobody on the street corner there. And I told my friend, Dan Wold was with me. And I said, let's call that number. There should be people on this corner. I mean, it's downtown. Somebody's missing, you know. Oh, dear. Well, I have a friend that is blind, and I have a lot of fun. He wants me to tell him all the signs. And I said, the craziest sign is when you go to the post office and see a sign that said, only C&I dogs allowed. He said, I've never seen it. And I said, and your dog can't read it. So, you know, what's it for? It ain't for me, you know. I don't take my dog downtown. I got a dog that, we live in Yakima, and I got a dog that's part, had a little pit bull in him and a little collie. He'd bite your leg off and he'd run for help. But anyway, you can't believe all that stuff, but I want to talk about some things this morning, just for a few minutes, that you can believe and that you can put faith and trust and hope in. I want to share a few thoughts from my heart. I'm not here to promote a book. I have a new book coming out in July this year called Dreams, Plans, and Goals. dreams how to have them, plans how to make them, and goals how to reach them. And I want to share a few thoughts with you because I believe everyone here today has some type of dream in your heart. And you're here in this great college under great leadership, professors, to have a plan, to reach a goal that you'd really like to reach. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every dream we had was a great dream, and every plan went without a hitch, without a problem, and every goal was reached on a target date? Wouldn't that be wonderful? It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes things change and you have to be a little flexible. I believe in winning people to Christ. That's what I do. But I don't just do it in churches. I'm speaking in the greatest churches in the world, but I don't do it just in churches. Last year, giving God praise, I led 144 people to Christ on a one-on-one basis, airports, hotels, restaurants, and so on. I believe in that.
Yes.
I put several new people in Stone Church in Yakima, or had an influence for them if they did come, to make that their home church. I have a dream to win as many people to Christ as I can, but now I've learned that the only way that can happen is if I have plans and have a target date, have a goal. I told Pastor Carpenter, who's our pastor, we believe he's the greatest pastor in the world, I told him today that I plan this year to put 12 wonderful families in Stone Church in Yakima. Tithe, paying, giving, prayer, seeking God, families. And we have the first one going to be there next week.
Amen.
And they are totally heathen. They know nothing about the gospel. So he said, what do I do? And so I told him, these are the things you have to do. God has 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. So this is what you need to do. And you need to be a tither. And he didn't, what is that? He never heard of tithing. So I said, how much money did you make last week? So he told me. I said, you have your checkbook on you? I said, get it out. See, it's best to get him started right up front. And so I got his checkbook out, and he made a check to Stone Church. It will go in next Sunday. I'm excited about that. And they will be in that church. Now, that's for January. But I hope I can exceed even my goals for this next year. Now, I believe, and just in brief, I believe that dreams are general and have no deadlines. I believe plans can be flexible. I believe goals can be specific and they have deadlines. So I believe in that, and it works for me. I don't know everything. I don't claim to know everything. I know somebody who does know everything, and I serve him. And on airplanes, I lead a lot of people to God. It's real easy during bad weather, but I lead a lot of people to the Lord, you know, and planes jerking every which way, and you lean over and say, you ready to die? They say, don't talk that way, you know. So, you know, I get them when they're hot, you know, and it doesn't bother me. So I have a lot of fun talking to people and winning them to Christ. I think it's an important thing. It's a dream for me. People have dreams. Some have a dream, and then it kind of dies. And I believe that if you have a dream, that you do not, if it dies easily, it possibly was not a dream. Maybe it was a good idea. And I have learned in my life some things the hard way, and I've learned that I never share my dreams with people who don't have any. Unless I feel that I can share that dream and it will give them hope.
Amen.
In a hopeless situation, seemingly,
yes,
to lift them out of despair and believe that they can have an answer, then I will share it that way. And so I have a lot of dreams. I don't share them with everyone. Pastor Carpenter's on our board of directors along with some other great men, and we have dreams, but we have plans. And we plan to reach certain things, and sometimes we struggle with the plans and had to be flexible. You know, plans need to be flexible, but you have to have an idea. Isn't that true? It's like the two guys were swimming in a river, and they jumped out, and they're going to put on their clothes, and here came a bear running at them. And one guy pulled on his boots and was grabbing his coat clothes real quick. And the other guy said, you don't think you're going to outrun that bear, do you? He said, nope, just have to outrun you. So, you know, he had a plan. And its plans are very, very important. Very important. Now, in the Bible, in the fifth chapter of Luke, I've read this many times, and I saw some new things there. Jesus was at Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. Simon was there. And Simon had been fishing all night, didn't catch anything. Jesus was speaking to the people. And as he got done and finished his speaking, he said to Simon something very unusual. It just was an unusual thing. I've been to the Sea of Galilee many, many times. The pastor said, been to Israel 75 times, taking over 10,000 people to that wonderful country. And he said something to Simon here, very unusual. He never asked him if he wanted to go fishing. He didn't ask him, would you like to be a fisherman? He didn't ask him about his past. He didn't talk about last night's failure. He never said anything here. He simply said these words to him in the fourth verse. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, something very unusual about that. Number one, in the Sea of Galilee, they do not fish in the deep. There are no fish in the deep. There never has been, except one time, and there never will be. They can't figure it out, really, but there's no fish in the deep. They're out 200 and 300 feet. So he told him to do something totally impossible. The second thing that he told him was to go fishing right now. You know, let's go fishing. Go right out. Cast your net out into the deep. Let down your nets for a big catch. Now, another thing that was unusual here, they don't fish in the daytime. They fish at night. And Simon, the first thing he did was to make excuses. And that's the way we are sometimes. When we have a dream, there will be negative people that will try to put you down. I've learned to live above it all. I asked one lady, how are you doing today? Well, she said, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. I said, what are you doing under there? See, you don't have to live under there. You live on top. God has a value placed upon our lives. Isn't that true? And I thank God for that. God has a dream, and his dream was for us to be saved. And his plan was Jesus Christ. And we all know what the goal is. So when I think of Simon here, the Lord never said anything but just go fishing. He never asked any of us or our Christians to find an idea or to think about maybe it might be a good thing to win somebody to Christ. I believe every Christian should be a soul winner. I believe that. I believe everybody should. I don't even believe in churches that it is the senior pastor's job to be the major soul winner. He's a shepherd. Shepherds don't get pregnant. Sheep get pregnant. So you see, people never stop and think. Our thinking has to be changed. And if we want to win souls and we want to have a real dream of our life will move in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. Every day, I'm thinking soul winning. Every day on the airplanes and everywhere, I'm thinking, what can I do to lift that person's life? He may be more educated than me, possibly is, knows a lot more than I know, but does he know who I know? Does he know Christ? So I try to lift him up. I got on a plane the other day, and a guy said to me, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. How you doing? Oh, he said, I'm doing fantastic. I said, don't lie to me. How are you really doing? And I never saw him before. And he looked at me and said, well, everybody's got their problems. And then he went on to tell me how his wife was leaving him, his son's in jail, everything's fantastic. You know, something's wrong there. Isn't that true? People think that's what you want to hear is fantastic. So I find as I think about soul winning, my life will move in that direction. Under dreams, I raise the level of my faith expectations. It makes no difference to me what people say. They can criticize me. They can do all kinds of things, speak against me. I'm going to just do the best I know how to do. That's all I know how to do. It's just do the very best and win as many people as I can. We were talking coming over here. You know, our government has placed a $20 value on a $20 bill. And it doesn't make any difference what you think about it. The highest level in this land is set at $20 bills worth $20. And of course, prices go up and inflation and all that. But still, so $20 bill will buy $20 or whatever at that time you spend it for. So it doesn't matter. You can take that $20 bill and crumple it up and hold it in your hand. It is still worth $20. You can take that $20 and crumple it up and throw it on the ground and jump up and down on it. It doesn't make any difference. It's still worth $20. So Satan can come against us. People can say things. Negative situations can try to destroy our dreams. But I'll tell you something. We are still value in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Isn't that true? Some people will live for a dream. We have 38 holidays in our nation every year. We just celebrated Martin Luther King's holiday. It was his day. His famous words were what? I have a dream. He lived and died for that dream. Some people will live and die for a dream. I want to win as many as I can to Christ. But I realize if I have a dream or if you have a dream, that your thinking has to be changed. Sometimes we think things because that's the way everybody said it was. Or we say, well, that's the way it's always done, so it must be the right way. It just must be the way to go. How many ever had your alarm go off early in the morning? Let me see your hand. Let me change your thinking. Your alarm never did go off early in the morning. It was off all night. It went on. That's how you heard it. Then you turned it off. You think about that. You see, sometimes our thinking needs to be changed. I really believe that I can be a soul winner. I really believe that I can. Now, Simon didn't believe he could catch any fish, but he went out and he started. Before he left, he said, Lord, we fished all night. We haven't caught anything. We always make excuses, no matter what happens. You know, I don't like to be wrong. I hate it when my wife is right. I hate stuff like that. And I want to be right. But sometimes we're wrong. It's like insurance companies, you know, they hear all the stories. One lady wrote her report of the accident, said it wasn't my fault. The telephone pole was approaching fast, and I was attempting to swerve out of its way when it struck my car. How could she be wrong? One man said, I looked over at my mother-in-law and drove over the embankment. Wasn't his fault. Another lady said the pedestrian had no idea which way to go, so I ran over him. It's never their fault. So Simon said, we fished all night and caught nothing, but he took his men, they went out, and the Lord said, you know, not only did the Lord tell him where to go, how to do it, when to do it, but he told him he'd be successful. If you have a God-given dream, God will never give any of you in this college a dream without giving you the ability and the qualifications to get it done. I believe that. God-given dreams that way. Simon went out. They caught so many fish, the boat almost sunk. And they had to call their friends, and their boat almost sunk. Wasn't that a success? Because they listened. See, a lot of times, when I was a kid, my mom would say, you're never listening to me. Well, I could hear her. She's screaming in my ear, you know. And I could hear her, but she said, you're not listening to me. Or she'd say things. How many had parents say things you couldn't, it's hard to understand at times. Mom would say, don't you go near the water till you learn how to swim. We had to learn on the land. Hoped it worked when you hit the water. You know, I mean, it was tough. You never could understand what was really said there. And I made the mistake as a kid as answering the questions. My dad would say, how many times have I told you not to do that? I said, 37. You know, but see, you'd get into trouble. Or he'd say, I don't want to spank you. I said, don't do it then. You know, or you'd get halfway done. I don't know how you got spanked as a little kid, but my dad always stopped in the middle. I never could figure it out. He'd always stop and say, do you want some more? Yeah, hit me again, but I like that. You know, if you have a dream, you will live above every circumstance to accomplish it. And plans are flexible, but God, for every person here, God has a blueprint for your life today.
Amen.
That's right. And if you follow God like Simon followed Jesus here, you'll have an answer. Because I believe that everybody was born to be a success. God wanted you successful spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. And if you have a dream to be out of debt, to not be struggling or whatever it is, you can be successful. God has a blueprint for your life. And then when it comes to goals, I believe goals are specific. I believe that if you want to be, let's use this for a second, if you want to be a soul winner, I believe you need to have some notes somewhere on the refrigerator or somewhere in your apartment or whatever. You need a note of how many people you plan to talk to today or this week or this month, and how many you plan to lead to Christ. Now, if you never led anybody to the Lord, don't put a goal up, I'm going to lead 10,000 to Christ this month, because possibly won't work. See, all of my goals are set out of reach, but within sight. That's why I set my goals. And I believe they're specific. You see, there was Jesus walking by one day in Jericho, and a man came and was hollering and said, "Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." Jesus sent his men over and said, "Tell him to come over here, bring him over here." And they brought him over. And Jesus said to the blind man, "What is it you want me to do?" You see, always remember that when the Lord asks a question in the Bible, it's not because he needs the answer. But he said, "What is it you want me to do?" And the man said, "I'm blind. I want to be healed." And the Lord healed him right there. But he made him be specific. I think that's important. I do that even financially. I say, "God, I have a payment of $3,241.18. I tell him exactly what it is. He knows what it is, but it makes me feel good to remind him. You know, sometimes I get nervous, you know. So anyway, it's important. And I tell God exactly. I think goals are specific and they have deadlines. And if you set a goal to reach somebody to Christ this month and it doesn't work out, don't worry about it. Go on, set another goal. Don't be discouraged. And live above every kind of difficulty. We can make it. I always think of Thomas Edison, that when they interviewed him in New York, "How does it feel to fail 700 times in trying to invent electric lights?" He said, "I never failed 700 times. I succeeded in proving 700 times will not work. And when I find all the ways that won't work, I will succeed in finding a way that will work." Over 10,000 so-called failures, but he made it work. Isn't that wonderful? And you see, there are a lot of stories. You know the stories of Harlan Sanders and Louis Pasteur and all Abe Lincoln, all kinds of people that lived above every kind of difficulty. They really did. J.C. Penney was sent home from school. They said he wasn't too smart. He must have been doing all right more than we knew, because he's been dead several years and we're still mailing him checks and we don't even know where he went. So, you know, I mean, it's important to live above every difficulty. I told my daughter the other day, she had a J.C. Penney check there to send something in that we'd charge. I said, "Don't send him. Why, do you know where he went?" She said, "What?" I said, "Well, we don't know where he went, so why send him any more checks? He doesn't need it anyhow. He's gone." She laughed. We had fun. But it's important with goals to set them, to have a target. I believe that you in this school have dreams. How many have dreams? Let me see your hand if you have dreams. Look at that. Everybody, you have dreams. You are here to have education, to have plans, to have God lead and guide your life. How many have goals? Let me see your hand. All right, you have goals. You want to reach them. When somebody's getting married, you don't say to them, or if they're talking about marriage, "Oh, when do you get married?" "I'm getting married Friday." "Oh, really? Yeah. Who's the bride?" "Oh, I don't know. I'm looking." They don't walk up to somebody and say, "I'm getting married Friday. Would you like to be the bride?" It doesn't work that way. Didn't work that way with me. I got married so young, I didn't hardly know what happened. That's right. I got before the preacher. He said, "Wilt thou?" And I wilted. I didn't know what was going on. But anyway, it worked out. I got a lovely wife. But you don't talk to somebody and say, "I'm getting married someplace, sometime, somewhere." They usually have a target date. When I fly, I flew almost 300,000 miles last year. And when I fly, I know exactly where I'm going. I leave tonight. I got to drive back to Yakima today, and I leave at 6 o'clock tonight to fly to Seattle, to Denver, to North Dakota, to speak tomorrow at a conference. And so I fly. I know exactly where I'm going. We have the tickets. It's all set. I think we need goals that way. Do you agree with that? I believe God will help me. I don't care what anybody says or what the discouraging things that come my way. Whatever it is, I'm going to live above it. I know that God will help me. You never know what you can do till you really try to do it. Isn't that true? Some people never try. They never exercise any faith. God honors faith. God is our Heavenly Father. Do you believe that? And He is supply-oriented by nature. Just like we, their fathers, supply our children. We want to take care of them. We want to bless them. God wants to bless us. He is supply-oriented by nature. But we never look to God, our Father, the supply. We're always thinking of the needs. And I find myself caught up in that trap many times, and I have to ask God to forgive me, because the Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so I say, Lord, forgive me. I'm looking at my need when I need to be looking at the supply. And I'm going to trust you, because you never know as you take a step of faith what can happen. Simon did it, and they caught fish, and they were successful because they listened to what the master said. He had the blueprint all laid out. And Simon listened, and he was successful. You see, the Lord was telling him, fish in the daytime and fish where there were no fish. And he said, you'd be successful. What he was saying, Simon, I know you're a fisherman, but your whole plan has failed. Why don't you scrap your plan and try my plan? And listen to me. That's what Jesus is telling us today. It's what He's telling me in my life. Scrap your plans, Ken. Do my plan. I just want to do what God wants me to do. I know I don't know everything, and I know I'm not perfect, and I don't have all the answers, but I know somebody who is perfect and somebody who has the answers and who is the answer. So you never know what you can do. So whatever your dreams are, believe God will formulate your plans and the blueprint for your life, and believe that the dreams will work out and goals will be reached. Two boys, I tell you in closing, two boys were playing on the ice, and one of them fell through the ice. And he was a good swimmer, but he was only 8 years old. He held his breath as much as he could, and the current pulled him 2 feet under the ice. And his friend looked down in that clear ice. He couldn't believe it. And there was his friend holding his breath and clawing at the ice. He didn't know what to do. He screamed. He ran up to the bank. People heard, and they called the paramedics. They knew they were only a minute away. And they called the paramedics. This boy tore a branch off a tree, ran back there, beat a hole in the ice, and got his friend pulled out. And they drug him across the ice, and by this time adults were there. These 2 8-year-old kids were frantic, and he was worried about his friend, but in a few moments they'd put a blanket around him, and they got the water out of him, and he was okay. He didn't drown. And people said, how did that 8-year-old boy tear a branch off a tree like that? He can't do that. He said, I know it. People said, I know. I don't know how he did it. How could he do that? And even if he did, how did he beat a hole in the ice like that? People said, I don't know. Finally, one gray-haired gentleman said, I can tell you how he did it. There wasn't anybody here to tell him he couldn't do it. Don't let anybody tell you God doesn't have a plan for your life. Bow your head with me this morning. Will you do that? Here's what I'm going to do as I close right now. If you have a need in your life, if you need Jesus, you're going to make a commitment, you have a dream you want to reach, you're asking God to help you with the plans, you have goals you want to reach, I'm simply going to ask you just to stand right where you are. I don't know what you normally do in chapel, but I'd like you just to stand right where you are and say, I have a need in my life, and I'm going to reach my goals. Nobody's going to put me down. God's going to touch my life. I believe Jesus will help me. Praise God. Father, I thank you for these standing all over this auditorium. I thank you for this great college and these great young people and adults, Lord. I just thank you for what you're doing in every life today. I thank you, Lord, that our dreams can be God-given dreams and our plans can be a blueprint of the Holy Spirit and our goals can be reached and Satan can be defeated. I thank you for it today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. And thank you for listening to me today.
You can remain standing because we're almost on our way out. But I think it would be just really nice to express to Ken Gobb our appreciation for a great message. A great message today. So, all of you dreamers, keep your eye on the goal, and put him in the center of your plans, and you're going to make it. Bless you.